Blog Talk Radio.
We welcome the night.
Oasis, a radio show where we discuss all the latest movies and news from the world of horror. Joining me tonight, as always, is my co-host, Ian. Ian, are you there?
Yes, I am.
How are you this week, sir?
I've been better.
One of those weeks, I expect that. Yep, it's been an average week on my end, so nothing really too grand, but we're here, as always. We go through the rough patches of life and just to spend a little time talking horror and talking movies. And that's what we're here tonight to do with a big release, but it is a big release. And Blumhouse has done it again. Okay. So our movie tonight is Fantasy Island. The horror retelling from the late 70s sitcom television show. Honestly, to tell you the truth, I don't know how long I'll be talking about this one because there's really nothing I really want to discuss with this one. But I got to pull through because that's what we do. And okay, so let's get into this, Ian. You ready?
Yeah.
All right. So Fantasy Island, as you've seen from the trailers, group of people go to Fantasy Island, and they meet Mr. Rourke, played by Michael Pena. And Michael Pena is really not properly cast for this film. He seems really out of place. He's not like that suave, sophisticated type person that you would see like run an island. And half the times he isn't even running it. But I'll get into like all the fucking things that make this film fall apart later. So anyway, they have their fantasy. We have I don't even have really the names written down except for two. And that's Melanie and Gwen, and then we have the two brothers, and then we have the one guy. And then there's five people, right? And so they come there and they're getting shown around, and as they shown in the trailers, you have one fantasy and you have to let the fantasy go until its natural conclusion, right? So we have Melanie, who wants to get revenge on a bully. That's her fantasy. And then we have Gwen, who's played by Maggie Q, and she has she's lived like single all her life, and her fantasy is to like sort of get redeemed because she said no to a marriage proposal to this one dude, and she wanted to redeem that. Then the two brothers, they're half brothers because one's Asian and one's not. And it's just them, the party, and then something, again, plot points come in later on. So they want to party and basically drink and do drugs and or just, get high, whatever, have fun with babes. And the Asian guy's gay, so hang out with dudes. And then the other guy, he's always wanted to go into the service, the military, because his dad was, and his dad mm-hmm. died, and then his fantasy is to become a soldier, basically, and then that goes on into that thing. And it's just like, again, they all have their fantasy, and things sort of go bad because, well, except for one. One's going perfectly fine, and then the other ones are going all crazy because the one dude who wants to be a soldier, his fantasy leads him to his father, right? So it's like him saying hey to his father. Oh, my God, hold on a second. Okay, so I got a dog barking like crazy. Oh, God, hold on. Okay, here we go. All right. Okay, so he meets his father, and then we have Melanie, who's getting revenge on the bully, and then she kind of has a change of heart because she doesn't think it's real, and it is real. Then the two brothers, they're partying, and then, like, they're at this, you know, this big mansion, and then, like, these other people with guns and, you know, like, sort of cartel, and they kind of get in trouble there, and they're trying to run for their lives, and you know, like, what's going on? They're like, oh, this is actually happening. And then Gwen, with the marriage proposal, that goes through, and she's living there, and she's like, she has a kid, and like, oh, you've been on this, you know, this fantasy for 4 years now. And, like, again, everything's going straight. Everything's going all right. And then we have this scenario where Michael Rooker shows up randomly, and he says, oh, I was on here, like, I came to this island because I was, like, undercover or a private eye investigation because there's some dark secret to this island to get the mystery behind it. And this is where the film falls apart. Honestly, this film falls apart because this film doesn't – God. This film really doesn't know, like, what it's trying to do. And it's very yeah. long. It's like almost 2 hours. It's literally 2 hours almost, maybe a couple minutes shy. Mm. And it is so fucking long, dude. If you can feel it, you're like, okay, what's, you know, it's not one of those like what's going on. It's like, why is this film so long? This film doesn't need to be this long because nothing's happening, right? They're all having their fantasy, doing this and doing that. And then the fucking Michael Rooker shows up and he's just cannon fodder. He basically, you know, comes in to help, like, reveal a few things about this island and what it does. And then you have, like, Michael Pena, you know, Mr. Rourke, like, you know, like, not doing anything. And then, like, people are getting chased by, like, these, like, sort of, like, henchmen zombie people. And, like, for some reason, and because I have no idea, honestly. Like, I don't. They're not henchmen for Mr. Rourke, but they're just there, you know.
Yeah.
And then we get the mystery of the island. It's like it's sort of like an episode of Lost, honestly. How they're trying to do this, and so, like, there's this fountain in this cave, and that's like what does everything. But then you have, like, Maggie Q's character plays Gwen with the marriage, and like, this isn't the fantasy, this is, you know, like, it's a fantasy, like, you can only have one fantasy. But twice they allow two other people to have two fantasies, right? So they break their own rules in this whole thing where, oh, I need, this is not the fantasy I want, let me have another one. Like, you can't do that, but they do it anyway. And, like, Michael, you know, and Mr. Rourke's like, okay, whatever, go do it, you know. And then it just falls apart. It just keeps unraveling itself, and it just gets, it's not confusing, it just gets progressively worse. And, like, then there's a twist at the end. Well, towards the end, with a certain thing happening, and it's just like, what is this? It doesn't. I mean, I was kind of into it a little bit. I was like saying, okay, this is like, again, like I said, it's like a little bit of an episode of Lost. I was like thinking, is this sort of like a purgatory thing where like they're already all dead and this is just them living out like their last final wish before they pass on? It's none of those things. It's all actually happening. That's the thing. That's the one downside of the thing. And then the reasoning behind everything is just, it's stupid, honestly. And the dialogue is horrible. It's honestly like they needed to do a few more drafts of the script to make this flow better. Because it could have been something. I mean, the idea, it's an interesting idea, you know, live out your fantasy, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, like being chased by people, do this, do that. And then they put this, you know, sort of fantasy element with the fountain, you know, out of Lost. And it just keeps getting worse and worse. It was like, okay, you know, you see like shadows and then like other like clones of themselves popping up for some reason, and it's just like, what is, you know, like all this stuff's happening, like you have like Dr. Torture, like his mouth sewn shut, and then you have like the henchmen, and then you have the clones of the other people, and then you have like all the fantasies sorting to merge into one, with like the brothers merging into the soldiers merging in with the two brothers on the mansion. And then it's just like, okay, and then, like, you get one of those words, like, you die for real, you die, you know, you sort of how they did in, what, Stay Alive. You die in the video game, you die for real. But it's like, yeah, you die. And it's just like, it gets worse, man. It's just like, there's so many things. As that film, it just hits that, once Michael Rourke jumps off a cliff, then that's the whole fucking film plummeting to its death, basically. Because it just does not get any better from that point on, and it just meanders around for like another, like, honestly, that was like 45-50 minutes into the film and there's still like another hour. Yeah. It's like, oh my god, just fucking, and it's just like, it's not a fun movie, but it's not an okay watch, I mean, but there's so many things wrong with it, and it could have been okay. I mean, It could have been done better, but this is from the same fucking director who did Truth or Dare, and that one was bad, but that was sort of cheesy bad in a sense, you know, with the weird grins and they kill themselves. Same director, same star, you know, who plays Melanie, is in it, and it's just, oh my god, it's bad, Ian. It's not good.
I actually forgot. Yeah, I forgot about Truth or Dare.
Yeah.
When you said Truth or Dare,
same,
I'm like, what, Tim Ritter made this movie? And I was like, oh wait, no.
It's
other
the bad. It's the
Dare.
Other. It's the Blumhouse. Blumhouse Truth
yeah,
or Dare.
I totally forgot all about that movie.
Yeah. So it's.
Good lord.
Yeah, I mean that one. I don't know. I mean, I guess I'd watch that one over this one because there's actually kind of more going for that one, even though it's. Bad, you know, it's like one of those bad ones like you can't look away from because you're just sitting there and like, this is bad.
Yeah,
but this one, there's nothing to this one. I mean, what could have been, you know, the twist just like happens and you're like, well, it doesn't make any sense. And then like other things that happen, like the whole fantasy thing, like it just doesn't make any sense, like towards the end there, and like, because spoilers, like, who fuck cares? One of the brothers dies, right? He gets shot. And so the Asian brother, I think his name's like Drax or something. And he says, Mr. Rourke says, well, your brother, you didn't have your fantasy. It was your brother who wanted, you were in part of your brother's fantasy to party and all that stuff. And he says, well, I wish for my brother to be on that plane. He says, for the only way for that to happen is for you to stay here on the island, right? And so his brother comes back to life, you know, comes back from the dead, basically. And then there's a certain thing that happens, you know, 5 minutes beforehand. And you're, like, wondering, like, how is that possible, you know? And then, like, this comes out of nowhere, like, okay, that doesn't make any sense. You know, it's a big reveal. I don't really want to give the reveal away. But it's not that much of a reveal. It's kind of stupid and thrown. Everything about this movie seemed thrown together, and it's just like not well written. Like the whole script was like a jumbled mess, and like they just like figured, okay, let's do this part, let's do that part, let's whatever. And then like the acting was just, well, not the acting, but the dialogue was just terrible. And like I said, Michael Pena was really miscast because he just seemed like an average dude and not like somebody that could run an island. And then there's like other, there's like so many things that just, it implodes on itself and it just unravels and you're just like tearing it apart. You know, it's like how we were with Cupid after a while, but this one's just like even worse than that, where it's just like, it doesn't make any sense. That's stupid. Why is that, you know, why do you have such, you know, you're just questioning things for the one twist. I mean, it's the twist that really just like throws everything monkey wrench into the system. And it's just like, it gets, oh God. But Ian, it's not good. I will say that much. It's not good. It's not, it's not the worst, you know, but it's just too long. They could have trimmed it down, just made another draft of the script, tightened a few things, and it could have been okay. And not a jumbled mess. And this one, I don't know, it just seemed like this director just like, oh, first script, whatever, fuck it, that's all we're going to do. And like one take wonders or whatever. It just, it was not good, and just a lot of things going wrong with it. And I mean, like I said, the idea is, it's an okay idea if they've done it properly. And they just need a competent director. And this, I don't believe he's a competent director. You know, it's like the one who did the Annabelle stuff, like and the first Annabelle, and then he did the Silence. You know, he's like, some of these directors aren't competently made to do, you know, they don't understand the horror. And they're just like, whatever, you can, you know. And it was on a $7 million, it's just a Blumhouse, you know, moniker. $7 million budget, 12.3 back, you know. So it made $5 million. I mean, that's good. That's enough to produce another movie sometime next year. So whatever, you know. They made money off of it. Not very good, but it's the Blumhouse way. Ian.
Yeah. Well, sounds like I'm glad I missed it. I probably would have fallen asleep.
It is dull. It is really, really dull. Yeah. I mean, there's not that much going for it either. I mean, it's not even like good, bad, or, you know, like some of those, you know, I mentioned before previous, you know, reviews. This one is just like, eh, you know, things happen. It's kind of dull, a lot of dialogue. And then, like, again, nothing really makes that much sense. I mean, they're just throwing things at a dartboard and hoping for the best.
Yeah.
And it could have been something. It's just like, again, need a better director, needed a better script writer, or just another couple drafts of the script and get it toned down, get it good, and not this overly long piece that they just decided, you know, it's good enough, whatever, throw it in theaters, make it whatever. You know, just like one of those, you know, just get it out of here.
Right. Yeah, and that seems to be a common theme anymore. but, you know, when I saw the trailer, I thought it was going to be exactly like that. I was like, could be good. I mean, there's an idea there that could be good, but, you know, track record, you know, just be like, oh, yeah, this is probably just going to be just a cash grab, nothing really happening. You know.
Yeah, it's released on Valentine's Day. I mean, whatever. It's about sort of reconciliation and fantasies. It makes sense. It'd make a couple bucks around that release date. And it did okay. I mean, it did good numbers for them. But, again, it's just like that. Or Sonic, and a lot of people don't want to go see Sonic. Well, a lot of people did go see Sonic. I'm not going to say that. People flocked to Sonic. But for those that didn't or don't have kids or don't know the property, there's Fantasy Island. It didn't, I had to go to the second theater to go see this one. It didn't come to my first one. So it's like a small theater run. Oh, no, but go on, Ian. I'm interrupting. I don't mean to.
Oh, no, you're fine. You are fine. I mean, it just... I just wish they would, like, when they're going to remake a movie or, you know, like, from an old TV series, because that seems like that's the next big, you know, niche,
mm-hmm.
is that they're going to be, you know, I mean, we had the Banana Splits, and then we got Fantasy Island, and, I mean...
Then we'll get Love Boat or something.
Yeah.
Slasher movie Love Boat.
So, and I don't really, like, the Banana Splits was okay.
Yeah.
There were some parts I liked. I mean, that seemed like they actually tried a little bit with that.
Mm-hmm.
But this just feels like, in the commercial, like the trailers for it and all that, it just, I don't know, it didn't wow me. And I was like, if this is the best parts of this movie, then this movie is going to be dull.
Well,
and
they do give away the ending of the movie, but it's in the trailer. But it's one of those where it's out of context, so you don't know until you see the film.
Yeah.
Because all through the movie, I'm thinking, like, okay, there's a scene missing, and then, like, I'm assuming something's going to happen, and, like, oh, there it is. And it's at the end.
Yeah.
It's like, okay.
Yeah, and I hate movies that do that. Like,
yeah.
You know, I love not know, like, you know, them giving you just enough to where you're like, you think you might know what the movie's about, but, you know, you're thinking about it and you're like, well, it actually could go this way, you know, and you just don't even know.
Mm-hmm.
I always love trailers like that. I wish they would do that again. But I guess that when it comes to a film like that, its best moments, they have to give some parts away or else they're just going to be like, oh, we don't really... This movie's going to look stupid if we don't give away the entire thing.
I mean,
it's
again,
not
I'm not
as bad as that.
It's fucking Fantasy Island. You know, we didn't go in with high expectations. We kind of knew it was going to be shit. But
exactly.
You just don't know how shit until you come out of it. And like, then it's, you know, it's like you always have, you know, not really expectations, but you kind of have an idea. I'm like, okay, it's going to be pretty bad, right? And then just like, how bad is it? And then this is what you get. Overproduced, I wouldn't even say overproduced, but just like, just a mess of a script, an idea that really goes nowhere and doesn't follow its own rules, and miscast lead for the person that runs an island, and it just goes, all the stuff that just does not work well or not handled properly, and then you get a fucking piece of shit.
Yeah. Well, you know,
but
maybe,
that's, yeah, go ahead.
You know, I was going to say, maybe they'll eventually learn their lessons.
I don't know. After Sinister 2, I've pretty much given up hope on Blumhouse for most part. But I know he's done a few good here and there. But, I mean, Jesus, sometimes, I mean, I can't really get the stink of Sinister 2 off my head.
Yeah.
But there's been worse. Of course, there's been worse than that. But Sinister 2 is probably the bottom of the bag. I have to go back and look at all the Blumhouse stuff. I know Sinister 2 is, like, probably the bottom of the barrel. And Truth or Dare, probably. This one will probably be down there. I know there's a few other ones. But, yeah. This one, I really don't suggest it unless you don't have anything else better to do. But I wouldn't, oh, man, it's just like 2 hours that go nowhere. Plot that does not really make sense. And it's just all these ideas just converge. Like, it's like circling the drain of the toilet bowl, you know, just like, let's, you know, like all these pieces of shit. It's circling. I mean, they're together, but it doesn't make any fucking sense, you know. You know, it's like, it's all in
right.
One bowl, it's one movie, but it's just all these different piles of shit, you know, circling, flushing down a toilet. And that's like the best way I can say it. Could have been something, you know, but it's not. Yeah. So anyway, that's going to do it for Fantasy Island, Ian. I don't have anything else I really want to say about it unless I spoil the damn thing. And
yeah.
you know, but I just don't want to do that because I don't think I really need to. The girl wants to get the revenge on the bully. It's her. Everything revolves around her. That's all I'll say. I don't want to give too much away. But, like, that whole idea of that plot point just goes nowhere and doesn't make any fucking sense at all. And then the ending doesn't make sense. And, like, all these clones and all these other people chasing people. And, like, where are these people coming from? Are they part of the island or not? Is it the fantasy? What the hell's going on? And there's just, like, so much convoluted shit. But I'm rambling. But next week is The Boy 2. So, and then after that's Invisible Man. I think that's the one I'm looking forward to the most at the moment. And then, we got a few things. Let's see. And then whatever comes out in March, which I know Antebellum comes out in March, and I know something else does. So we might have a few opening spots for just random shows. And then we'll figure out the rest as they come. So that's going to do it for this week. Ian, as always, it's great talking with you. Thanks, everyone, for listening.